With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi, everyone. This is the Jade Marissa podcast, and this is episode 21. I am talking to you from Thailand about the good, bad, and ugly in sports and pop culture. My guest today is a female fighter all the way from France. She has fought on Female Fight League show, fights in Muay Thai, and has also fought in Left Way. She has been living and training in Korat Isan, which is the northeastern region of Thailand, out of Luk Yamo Gym. Here is Sori Manfredi.
Hi, everyone.
Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
You have a huge black eye right now.
Yeah, but it's only from the training. It's a little accident.
And some stitches.
And 4 stitches, yeah.
It's what happened?
We were clinching and giving little elbow and just a little accident.
Elbow during clinching?
Yeah. Just a little accident. It was not a, you know, sometimes you pretend you want to elbow there and it's not only
and
pretending.
You moved in that way, that yeah. person moved in the
and
way.
And I moved at that moment a little bit too close, so that's nothing, not a big deal. But it looks...
it's fresh.
Impressive.
It's a fresh wound.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I think that's why. Were you training mostly with guys or girls?
Mostly with men, but actually we are lucky because we have few girls in the gym, so it's great.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed actually on Charlton's Instagram, like, there's a lot of girls there now.
Yeah.
More than before.
Yeah. No, way more before. Like now, a few weeks ago, I think we were like 12 girls in the gym.
Wow.
Yeah, more than men. So it was...
That's so different.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So you're flying to Europe soon. Is that the first time going back to Europe?
No. It's the third time, but I'm going for a short holiday now.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the last time you went to Europe, was that back home to France or?
The last time it was in December and it was to see my family and to work as well, giving some seminar. So it was a great time too.
Mm-hmm. Were you born and raised in France your entire life?
Yeah, let's say so. But I've been traveling a lot and living in other countries as well. But
oh, like where else have you lived?
I've been living in Canada, in Romania, and I've been traveling in most country of Europe as well.
Traveling, fighting, or just... In
no,
general?
Traveling.
Yeah? Okay. So when did you get into martial arts?
Now, almost 6 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
And why? How?
When I was kids, I've done judo. But I've been dreaming like doing kickboxing or boxing all my childhood. But I could not because my father did not agree with this idea. So when I was traveling 6 years ago in Romania, I wanted to try. So I tried MMA first and then doing a little bit kickboxing, but mostly jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu and then slowly moved to Muay Thai.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we had a guest here who's like Romanian also. And like he was doing kickboxing in Romania, but he didn't start. Who was it? Alex Boblier.
Yeah.
So he didn't start Muay Thai until he went to England and started Muay Thai in England. So in Romania, he was only doing kickboxing.
No, yeah. Because the elbow are not allowed in Romania, insurance question. And there is not really so much competition actually in Muay Thai, only kickboxing, boxing, MMA.
But in France, also the rules for Muay Thai are a little bit different, right?
Yeah, a little bit. And you can use the elbow, but you have protection on the elbow.
Oh, okay. So you can use it.
Yeah, you can, but with the protection.
With the protection. Like, oh, okay. So you went to Romania and you did MMA there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after MMA, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but when I went back to France, I started to do jiu-jitsu and then Muay Thai, competing in Muay Thai, MMA, and jiu-jitsu. And then slowly I had to choose because I was reaching a level in all those sports, which was like, if I want to go further, I have to choose in one.
Yeah.
So because I prefer the feeling of the ring, I decide Muay Thai. Yeah. Yeah.
Explain the difference in the feeling.
And somehow, even if you are alone when you fight in jiu-jitsu, but it's not the same than when you step into the ring, definitely. Like when you step into the ring, okay, you have your corner man, your coach, but you are really alone and there is no way to escape. And somehow, jiu-jitsu, you tap out. Like when somebody has a armbar or whatever, so you just give up. So I don't know. And somehow I prefer it, and I do like to kick and punch. Huh?
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Yeah, that is an escape, that little tap, and that's it, end of. Yeah. And then Muay Thai, you don't really have that.
No.
Huh. I never really thought about that. That's so interesting. But the feeling's the same when you go into the ring or the octagon or whatever. Like, it's still like you get that tunnel vision. It's you and the opponent.
Yeah, but it's on the mat, you know, there is not all the rope around, so it's not the same feeling. It's less impressive. I mean, when you step into the ring, there is a huge emotion, you know.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So, but when you step on the mat.
Oh, for just jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. It's completely different. And also, like in the big competition, you have several mats. So that means like a few fighters are fighting in the same time, which is, I don't know, not. You are not the center of the attention of all the crowd and everything.
Yeah, a jiu-jitsu tournament is very much just like a typical sports martial arts sort of competition rather than like a fight.
Yeah,
I can imagine the difference.
But it's an amazing sport anyway. Yeah, not really.
I was doing jiu-jitsu before my back was starting to hurt. So like I really enjoy jiu-jitsu as well. And I really wish maybe in the future I can get back into it. I don't know, but... It's a great sport.
I wish you that.
Yeah.
No, it's a great sport. And it's also for self-defense for women, I guess.
Perfect.
Like so many women should learn like at least the base of this sport, because especially for sexual assault, this is the perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah. Just escaping from a mount or a guard or all these different types of positions. It's so useful.
Yeah,
knowing jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And that, like the way that you kind of manipulate the other person's body weight for your advantage, so I think that's really good as well.
Yeah.
So I bet you miss it then. You haven't done it for a long time.
I've been playing with one guy lately, like a month ago, but it was just 5 minutes. But you know, actually,
I'm sure
I miss it sometimes, but I'm so busy and so tired with the training anyway in Muay Thai. So, but for sure, if one day there is a guy or a woman in a gym who knows about BJJ, I would love to
roll.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, do you ever feel like in the fight you want to like do a judo throw or anything like that?
But hopefully, like in Lightway, you can do all this. Yeah.
Oh.
You can do anything you want in Lightway. So yeah, but. To be honest, of course, like my judo background, my BJJ helps me a lot in the clinch.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So much like upper body strength and just like how you move the other person.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So you decided to go to the stand-up fighting path, Muay Thai, kickboxing. What was your parents or family reaction towards that?
Well, I don't know. No, I mean, I was an adult, so I don't know. They were just like, do whatever you want, and
okay.
If you like it. Now they are pro. They don't really like to watch unless they know I win. So that's for them. It's okay. But I mean, there is no parent in the world like who likes to see her kids or them kids getting punched or kicked. I mean, of course.
Yeah. So. When you were back in France fighting, you were also working at the same time?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Oh, what were you doing?
So I was a metal worker before.
Metal?
Metal worker, like in construction.
Welding?
Yeah, as well.
That's cool. Yeah. All All right. That's definitely a useful skill.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. No, for sure.
Yeah, hands on.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
No, and slowly, because there was this was not working with training, and also, I mean, I like this job, but not that much. So I slowly moved to coaching.
Mm, yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I heard like a lot of fighters say, or a lot of coaches say, when they start to teach other people, they become more creative with themselves as fighters. So like you think of different moves, different techniques, or different combinations that you can use to fight.
No, for sure it helps you. But I was more doing like the physical preparation. I had a class of only for women of BJJ.
Okay, nice.
But no, it helps you. Yeah, but in the same times, it's a lot of time. So when you train, when you fight, giving class as well is a lot of work. I guess
definitely.
Yeah, you better focus on something, but not doing too much things in the same time.
That's nice that you were teaching just like a woman's jiu-jitsu class.
Yeah, but we noticed that I noticed especially that a lot of women would like to do it, but in the beginning, were ashamed because thought like, yeah, I'm not able with men to do it. But also like, it has many positions in jiu-jitsu that women just don't want to have men in between the legs and everything. So I noticed that it would be great to have a woman class.
Definitely, it's so when someone's doing jiu-jitsu for the first time or the first few times, it's so uncomfortable for them for some of the positions that you have to get into. So yeah, I can imagine like when you practice with a girl, you feel a lot more comfortable.
I know, yeah. And then slowly that's also when they feel completely okay, then they can go, if they want, of course,
train
to the mixed class. But yeah, I think this should be more, it should be more often that the gym propose for BJJ woman class.
Yeah, really. I think so, actually. Yeah, that would definitely work. I mean, it wouldn't have to be every day. They could do like a couple of days per week, like just make a set schedule so they can build in the audience, build in the market first, and then eventually grow from that.
Yeah, definitely.
What belt did you
get? Blue belt.
Blue belt.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So what made you want to move to Thailand and pursue your career in fighting?
A few different things. Because I was living in different country, I thought, okay, I don't want to live anymore in France. I want to stay somewhere else. And in France, I did not have so much opportunities for fighting, neither in Europe a bit. And I thought, okay, where would be the best to fight as much as I can and that I want? And where would be the best to learn Muay Thai? Of course, in Thailand. So. And my French coach at that time, he told me, okay, for what you need to progress, you should go to Charlton Henry, to his gym, because his way of teaching and his skills would be very good for your own skills. So that's why when I first came, I didn't know that I would stay that much. But
how long have you been here now?
Almost 2 years.
Oh, 2 years.
Yeah, almost,
wow.
Yeah.
So fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, did you previously know Charlton? But your trainer back in France knew him.
No, you only saw videos on Facebook, on the social media, actually. So, yeah.
Mm. So you went, so Charlton's gym is Luk Yamo Gym in Korat Isan, right? Yeah. It's pretty far from everything.
Not really.
Isan. It's like northeastern Thailand.
Yeah, but it's just different.
It's a little town.
Yeah,
but a busy one.
No, it's actually a big town. No, it's a big town. but I mean, of course, there is less entertainment in Korat than in Bangkok, Pattaya. But it is actually the best to focus about training. Actually, if you don't have any distraction or around you, is the best if you want to train and focus.
I mean, I always follow Charlton on Instagram or whatever. Like, I like his training style. It's so different, and it's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he drills a lot of the techniques and he teaches a lot of techniques as well, whereas a lot of gyms in Thailand just kind of get you to kick pads and then focus more on the fitness, whereas Charlton is really a lot more stricter about how you form, how you perform a certain technique.
Yeah.
So yeah, and he applies a lot of Muay Boran as well.
Yeah, yeah, a lot. Yeah, yeah, no, he's but also a lot of boxing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, because he's all the time looking for a technique. I mean, for the Letway fight, I mean, he never fought, or he never fought before in Letway, and I guess never teach as well, to never train somebody who was fighting in Letway. But
you were his first fighter who fought Letway?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure 100%. But no, I mean, for sure, in Getrak, he has a few fighters, me as well. I fought once in Getrak, but the roles are a little bit different. But what I wanted to say is, Charlton was making a lot of research and looking for what would be the best for the fighter coming. So now he's brilliant for teaching.
Right, and I've seen sometimes he'll take you to like the mountain or hills area and make you run up there and do all these crazy like warrior style workouts. Can you like explain some of the training methods that he does?
About the mountain or
anything,
just
in general?
It's just he's adapting what the fighter needs, actually. So it's all depend about the fight, about the opponent, about what I need to work on the moment. Like so I can't say like there is no routine. Of course I'm doing boxing, so there is a certain routine, but let's say if we know like for the Letway, I had like a completely different routine than before. You know, kicking on the target with my head, giving headbutt, because we knew like headbutt. We need to practice it.
Did you do that in your fight?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you did a headbutt.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was excited. I wanted to do
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Because like sometimes I see when I watch Letway fights, the headbutt is different. They get down and then they propel up.
Yeah.
Rather than like in the West when they have like a bar fight and they do a headbutt, it's just like straight onto the head.
That's the mistake I made.
Oh, you did that one?
No, we've been working exactly what you said, like going from down to up. But I don't know. Of course, during the fight, you try to do your best, but sometimes it's just what comes first, and that came first. But I did not open myself, because I was afraid. Like if you just go like boom, you can open yourself.
Yeah, you can cut your head. Yeah.
So, but no.
How was the other girl?
She was not open from that, but I mean, we've been trying a bit during the training, just a little bit, you know, like giving small headbutt. And I can say for sure, even small headbutt, it's already painful. So when you go hard, even if you don't open, trust me, she felt it.
Did she try and headbutt you, or did she?
Sorry?
Did she headbutt you?
No.
No, nice. And she was a local fighter from Myanmar.
No. She was from Cambodia.
Oh, okay.
She is in her weight category, like the superstar in Cambodia. Yeah, yeah. She's fighting since 12 years old. Very
experienced.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Her shins must be really strong.
Yeah.
Her leg, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah,
yeah. She's been fighting a few Thai famous girls in Cambodia, like Saifa or Wonder Girl.
That's yeah. You know, Cambodian fighters are really strong.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that much going on there either in Cambodia. So I think, like, when they train, they train. They're in for it. Even, like, the men who fight, it's like they fight with nothing to lose.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, really. Like, when they go fight, they're very strong people.
That should be the spirit.
It should be the spirit.
Anytime.
Yeah. And Thailand is a little bit different now. I think there's so many distractions like for the Thai fighters, so if they're not like and then they know they're going to get the same money when I lose, so that also like a lot of the time they don't care if they lose.
I mean, maybe it depends also of the level you reach. Like there is a certain level you just want to win all the time and do the best, because also you're when you are in high level of I guess when you're in low level maybe you don't really care, but it also depends the way you see it.
I suppose it also it depends on the gym as well, and like how you feel for the gym. Because like if you're really happy at the gym and they're treating you well, then you want to do your best to represent the gym. Yeah. Whereas like maybe if you're not so happy there and there's like this like maybe conflict between the trainers or other fighters, and they're like whatever.
But I also believe that it comes from your coach, because it must give you like the wish to do the best. Also, like if he improve a lot of energy on you, then also that's a part of the deal. You make it for yourself, but you also want to represent your coach, your teacher, so I guess.
So, yeah, that's so true. So does Charlton, is he good at, so you said like he kind of looks at each fighter individually and then say, one fighter, if they know this person's kind of burning out, they're exhausted, he knows how to adapt the training for this specific person.
Yeah.
And that's really good. Yeah. That's what you need in a trainer, not just like one trainer is like, okay, I have my plan that I'm going to do today and I'll stick to the plan. No, you have to look at the individual.
No, for sure. But he's asking very often, like the fighter who are coming, what they need, what they want to know, learn. Like that was the first question he asked me when I... first email him okay, he say, what you want to work, why are you choosing me to come? So I say, I need actually to work this and this and this. So when I came, that we were working on this, right? Especially, so yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah
that's
perfect. But it makes sense actually. I mean, okay, if you are a beginner you need to work on everything, but there is a level where you need all the time to work on everything, but sometimes especially on specific things, because you need to progress on small details, and small details makes the big difference.
That's so true. And there's so many different things behind being a good coach, not just the technical part of it, but knowing the mind of your fighter as well, knowing their emotions, or knowing everything. You know, it's a big task. You know, because you always have to motivate that person. You have to be the support behind that person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a big task being a good coach.
Yeah, I
see that Charlton does a good job.
He is a brilliant, amazing coach. The best.
So you were just mentioning that he's going to be moving his gym.
Yeah. So if everything goes well with the construction, the camp will be open on January near Pattaya, like in the south of Pattaya.
Beautiful.
It's going to be... the Lukyamu number 2.
Oh, so you're still gonna keep the one in Karat and then also have this one?
That's his plan, I guess, for because it has some Thai guys who are training in the gym, so he wants to leave the gym as well in Karat for them. They get the
hopefully they keep up with the good training. Will Charlton, he'll be back and forth from both gyms?
No, you can't. I mean, you can't. It's too far. But at least they have a place to train and.
Yeah. He's a nephew. Is it his nephew or son-in-law or someone who's training there? He's a boxer, like a national champion.
In boxing, is the son of his wife.
Oh yeah. Okay. So son-in-law.
Yes.
His son-in-law. Oh, okay. So will he be staying there at that gym in Karat?
Oh, maybe? But he's in school. He's training in school. Actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's in national school.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of schools in Thailand, they have like national boxers, national Muay Thai fighters.
Yeah,
and they
school,
have them compete with each
the
other.
The school in Karat is pretty cool.
Yeah really. That's what Senchai, that's how he got into Muay Thai, was
really?
From his school.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he was chair at his school, and his school was having a Muay Thai fight, and they just picked him out, and they was like, okay, you fight Senchai. And like, he didn't even train. He won his first fight. And after that, his teacher was like, okay, you're going to continue this and represent the school. Yeah, so that was it. Okay, so obviously you'll be moving to South Pattaya with that gym.
Yeah, sure.
You're going to miss Isan?
I don't know. I don't know yet. No,
you've been there 2 years now. I mean, big change, South Pattaya and Isan, I think.
It's not going to be in a town where all the crazy things happen. So it's more going to be like the countryside part of Pattaya.
Mm. Yeah, so. South Pattaya is actually really nice. They have some really nice places and it is more quiet. Yes.
No, actually, because Charlton told me that it's near the sea, near the small valley and the forest, and I do really love nature. So actually, I'm pretty excited with moving there, being
really
more
cool.
In the countryside than in the city. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. So, like, are you a big fan of Isan food right now? No. That's
No. It's not. I like Isan food, but. I'm not a big fan of Thai food, sorry.
Really? Oh, God.
I
That's
prefer...
difficult in Isan, I think.
No. It's really good, but it's not my type of food. Sorry. Sorry.
So you choose blue cheese over bala?
No, I don't even choose blue cheese.
Oh, no. You're French.
Yeah, but...
Okay, no. So you're not a big fan of Thai food. Okay.
No, I mean, of course, yeah, you have amazing food, but it's not my favorite one.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Okay, I guess that's a good thing then when you move into Pattaya. There's going to be a lot more choices. And even the supermarkets.
No, I am the cooker, so that's why I'm cooking my own food. So it's not about the region of Thailand, no.
Okay. No. Yeah, so going back to when we were saying that sure. Charlton uses Muay Boran in his training style. Actually, like at my gym as well, we also have Muay Boran class. So like some of my fighters have been taking the class and like now they've been fighting at MX, Muay mm-hmm. Extreme. And you can see that they've been using Muay Boran moves in there. Mm-hmm. So like flying knee, Jiao Kei Fan Hao, which means like the spinning back kick. Mm-hmm. And then like the teep, where it's like teep to the side, but yet high, like mm-hmm. towards the face. Yeah, so they'll be using Muay Boran moves in there. So I think it's really useful, actually.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And all the block as well for the punch. No, it's definitely very useful. And also, I'm sure 100% when you have extra skills than the other, you make the difference. Of course, you...
And the promoters love it.
Yeah.
They okay. love to see like someone doing something different, something exciting, yeah. you know, something that's effective. Yeah, like when they see that, even if the fighter win or lose, and they see them fight a good fight and do something that's exciting for the crowd, then they want to bring that person back.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, like, what's your favorite move that you like to do? Is there any?
Yeah, of course. But let's say I love clinching.
You love clinching? Oh, I mean, yeah, you have the jujitsu and judo background.
No, if clinching would be a sport, I think I would choose clinching. I mean, it would be just this. But no, I love to box, actually. Charlton, in the beginning, I prefer kicking, but because he gave me his passion of boxing, I start to really love boxing and the skill and the movement. Before... As a Muay Thai fighter, you don't use that much the punch or the combination with the punch. But I start now to feel really better on it and to love it, really. So
no, that's really good because, I mean, in the past, I think using boxing in Muay Thai wasn't as important. But mm-hmm. nowadays, when, like, you know, a lot more Western influence is coming in, a lot of Western fighters are coming in, they have good boxing, they have good hands, you know, then it's really important to know at least how to block and counter. Mm-hmm. So definitely, definitely important. And especially if you're going to fight in things like left way when it's like the ropes instead of the glove, right?
Yeah. Yeah. you must use it. I mean.
Yeah. So like, so can you tell us a little bit more about that experience fighting left way?
Mm-hmm. What can I say? I loved it first.
Yeah.
No, it's... I was looking for it when I first came to Thailand 2 years ago. I was asking Charlton, hey, do you think I could do Kertrak and as well light way?
Oh, so it's different.
Yeah, Kertrak, yeah.
Kertrak?
Kertrak. You know, with rope.
Okay, Kertrak.
Sorry.
Kertrak.
My yeah. French accent.
Yeah.
No, so it's of course a bit different because you don't have the headbutt most of the time and you have the ropes, but otherwise, yeah, and you have less takedown possibility. Yeah, no,
you can take down in
that way. Yeah, you can do the...
Pretty much all goes.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
Yeah, just on the floor, you can't do nothing, but that makes sense.
Oh, so it's like Muay Boran.
Yeah,
very similar to Muay Boran then back in the day. But did Muay Boran back in the day have headbutts? I'm not sure. You don't know.
I don't think so. I never heard about it, but maybe I don't know. So yeah, so about that fight, it was a really great experience. I don't know. I felt just comfortable, and I love the feeling without gloves. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because you love to clinch, so I guess you can really grab the person and like kind of throw them wherever.
It's of course easier, but also like the boxing experience without gloves is amazing.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I suppose as long as your hand is wrapped well, then it should be good. Otherwise, it can be quite dangerous for your hand.
Yeah, but you have to prepare your hand. You can. It's like giving headbutt without never practicing. I think it is not a great idea. So you have to make stronger your wrist and your
knuckles.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. like So even in the, that's so good. So even at Lukemo gym, you were practicing just like strengthening your wrists for fighting with bare knuckle pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
What type of exercise would you do for that?
We did like, well, first is to practice on the bag without gloves,
oh, yeah.
of course, but also like kicking on the sand.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like
punching down on the sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Push up like jumping push ups on the floor directly. Yeah.
Wow.
on the concrete. Like really, you want to make your, how did you call it?
Knuckle
really.
Yeah, your hands look strong actually.
Damn.
Yeah. I even know that your hands can grow muscles.
Well, so I told you I was working in construction side. So
oh,
of course.
Yeah. She's a welder as well. So, of course. Cool. Well,
yeah, no, so all this small exercise, I really believe makes the difference. In the
yeah,
end.
Definitely. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you do like things that are really good for strengthening your core, it's all the small movements that make you stronger inside rather than like the big ones. It's just for the outer.
Exactly.
Ah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, will you be going to fight Lefway again?
Yeah, because so the WLC organization, they decided to open all the weight category of women, which is really great, like from 48 till 67.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big.
And they want to make like tournament of each weight division. So that means I was the first opening weight division, but mm-hmm. other women in this weight will fight. And then they want to make a tournament or for the belt or.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So actually the winner was joining the division. So I won. So the next year they are making 6-7 in a year. So every 2 months they make event. So the next weight category for the woman would be 63 to 67.
Wow.
Yeah.
63 and 67 is such a big difference.
Yeah, but they open like
large
category. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's better because it's harder to find female fighters, especially at that weight category.
Yeah.
So yeah. Damn. What's your weight category?
54. So it's 51 to 54.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's how I was fighting. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm good. I wouldn't be fighting left way. I don't have the balls for that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, there's some girls that are really notable. Burmese Pfeiffer, and I saw.
But she will fight the next event in left way. Yeah.
I saw her fight at a Muay Thai Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's a good one to follow. And then also another girl fight that's coming up is Brooke Farrell against Iman Barlow.
Yeah, I saw
for the WBC title.
Yeah, that's a good matchup.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited. I love seeing Iman fight. Like,
yeah,
she's so smooth. Everything is just like she doesn't even have to think about it. Her body just goes. Yeah, really nice. So that'll be really good.
No, it's gonna be a good match to watch. Really, definitely.
Is there any girls that you want to fight?
Oh, many.
Oh yeah, have you made a list?
Yes.
Oh.
No, I don't have a list, but in
top
my hand.
Top three.
So it depends where, but let's say to stay about Thai people, even if she's not, they are not in my weight category, a little bit higher, Cao Xing, I'd like to fight again, Doc Mai Pa.
Doc Mai Pa, oh, yeah. I fought her.
Yeah?
She kicked my ass. it was like my fifth fight and her like 30th fight.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I was really outclassed and she schooled me for like the entire fight. So yeah. But now she's like national champion. She's doing so good.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, she's good. She's good. But is she fighting a lot in Thailand?
Or? She fought in IFMA recently.
Yeah, yeah.
But apart from that, I'm not sure. Mm. But she is like one of the top females right now in Thailand.
Yeah. So
yeah, so I fought her. Yeah, maybe it's not the best.
I don't know.
But yeah, and who else?
And yeah, Brooke would be also a good matchup. In Australia, there is also Londa Yolo, I guess, in this weight category.
Oh, that she fought one championship. That one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She fought with Brooke, right? This girl.
Alma Unicu also would be a great opponent. No, I mean, they have great fighters in Australia.
Yeah, they do. because you have a lot of Thai trainers that go out over there and like, yeah, you know, with the work in the gym. So, and it's so close for the Australians to come over to Thailand mm-hmm. compared to like anywhere else in Europe or America. So yeah, good fighters in Australia, mm-hmm. big Muay Thai scene.
Yeah,
it's growing and growing, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
So all those opponents would be great. And I think it will happen in the next months. I mean, for sure. There is no reason that we don't meet in the ring.
Yeah, that's true. When's your next fight?
So the next fight will be the 4th October.
Okay.
Probably near Korat for a belt. I will fight a foreigner, but I forget her name. I'm sorry. And the organization is a woman fight.
Is it the same one that they do in Chiang Mai?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
They're
moving to Korat.
No, I don't know. They want to make an event near Korat. Mm. So I will fight. If it's in Chiang Mai, it's fine too, of course.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, it's nice that they made that promotion now.
Yeah, a lot
of girls fighting there.
Yeah.
Who did I just see? Teresa, Miriam. A lot of the top girls are fighting there, so it's good.
No, definitely. Yeah, it would be. I don't like when I forget the name of the people, but anyway, it would be for a belt and for a title. So it's gonna be great.
So how long are you going to Europe for then?
Just 10 days.
Oh, just 10 days. Yeah. Come back and then go straight back to training.
Hard training, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 5 rounds. That's 5 rounds. That promotion. Yeah, I just had I have Fanny from Greece. She's mm-hmm. at my gym. She just fought on there.
Okay.
Yeah. No, cool. Tell us a little bit about your experience fighting on my promotion, Female Fight League.
So, as I already told you, but I will repeat, it was very amazing experience. But especially because everywhere in the world, it's so rare to see that a woman promoter making like even for only for female fighters. I mean, this is amazing. This was really great, and the organization was such professional. I was really amazed by everything. I mean, you make it with Maya,
yeah,
very perfectly.
Yeah,
in every level. I mean, as a fighter, I can say often the promotion, you don't really feel like you're respected as a fighter. You are just like, yeah, you're just. I don't know what, but not really as a fighter, you get the respect that you should have. But with all of you, I mean, it was just nothing bad to say.
So. Yeah.
And
thank
it's not
you.
Because it's alive, it's real, it's sincere.
No,
really.
Yeah, it's a shame we couldn't continue. It's so hard to find the funding, but like that promotion was really what I had visioned, you know, what I want, how I would like to promote a fight. And it came true, like, from my own experience as a female fighter, like you said, like the promoters don't really take good care of the fighters. No. Just kind of, okay, like they'll tell you like, oh, there's your hotel, blah, blah, blah. And then they just leave you there. And like, you don't really know what's happening next. Or there's so many different things. So like, I tried to make sure that we did accommodate our fighters and make them feel comfortable as well. Cause like without the fighters, it's no show, right? So
no.
It's definitely important.
No, and also like when the promoter show you respect, then you want to make a good show. That's, this is 50-50. This is how it should work. So if the people around you treat you like shit, you don't want to give the best you can. I mean,
but yeah,
I all the time want to give my best, but I'm also have a thought for the people who make me fight.
You're gonna do that a little bit extra.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. It really does make a difference. I mean, because it's emotionally as well. Like, it's going to fight is very emotional. So like, of course, if people are treating you good, like you want to have that good emotion. But if people are not really being that respectful to you, it's kind of like a downer a little bit.
Mm-mm.
So it definitely plays with your mind as a fighter, because you've got so much that you're focused on for the fight, so everything just needs to be like kind of perfect in a way, in your little way.
Yeah. And it was perfect, so no really, you did a great job, and I hope for the next time
sponsors please.
Yeah, sponsors.
Yeah, so that's why right now I'm just focusing on like teaching, you know, like we spoke about self-defense and Muay Thai, because I want to keep the name of Female Fight League, and I also want to promote the art through females,
mm-hmm.
you know, and make it a comfortable experience for people learning, you know. So yeah.
And you did also a great matchup, to be honest. All the fight I watch, I like the matchup you did.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can see that you a little bit study the opponent and the style, not like putting...
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing that usually when females fight, they would just kind of, okay, you're the same weight as this person. Okay, you can fight. No, that's not okay. Like, this person's had, like I said, like I had 5 fights and I fought against a girl who had 30 fights and it didn't work out very well. So, you know, you really need to look at each different fighter and see, okay, is this going to be a good fight? Because if you're a promoter, you want an entertaining fight.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why a lot of promoters actually say, like, they say themselves, oh, like, female fights is not fun. But that's because you do terrible matchups.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, it's like, really up to the matchup. Yeah. So, like, I did the matchmaking myself, and I made sure that it was going to be a good event. You know, I wanted to see good fights. It's important.
No, that's make completely sense. And I also believe, like, when the people see good female fights, they want to see more. But as you say, like, if you make a terrible matchup... They just think, yeah, the female fight is just boring.
But yeah,
no,
definitely
not.
Do you remember your fighting record?
yes, in the total with amateur, and I just write it before.
Oh, good.
All the amateur and professional fight, I have like 34 fights. 27 win, 16 KO.
Wow.
Four.
So cool.
4 losses and 1 draw.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really good record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any titles?
Yeah, I won the national French child. Yeah, sorry.
Muay Thai?
No, in France, we. Oh my God. 4 years ago, like the national championship, I got like a European title and I won 2 belts in 2 stadiums in Thailand. And I'm looking for the next, like...
Well, you have that one in Korat coming up, right?
Yeah.
That's a nice belt.
Yeah. No, that's going to be... It's a 4 world title, so it's important. So I'm glad. And I'm just open for any kind of opportunity.
So it's just a super fight. It's not a tournament.
No, it's a super fight, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And then later you said the WLC Leftway, they're going to do a tournament, right?
Yeah,
so I'm sure that will be for a belt eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's really cool. That'd be a nice
memory,
experience, everything.
Yeah. And also the WLC organization are really professional. So it's actually really great to fight also for them. So I was thinking about that, about a great organization, and I can see good things also from them.
Oh, yeah? I was going to ask you your most memorable fights. Maybe it's that one, the Leftway one, then.
Sorry?
The most memorable fight, the one that sticks out to you the most.
I don't know. I think they are all very... No, not all, but... this one was something, of course, because it was huge. Big crowd, and the local people are amazing. They are really living with you the fight. They are completely.
I heard that in Myanmar, like, the people love Leftway. They love fight sports.
Yeah. And they just show you like how much they love to see the fight and the fighter and the heart of the fighter. No, I mean the atmosphere was amazing.
Wow.
Lately, this one comes first, of course. Yeah. But because it's just fresh, like 3 weeks
ago. No, but still, it's like, I think it's going to be a really crazy experience and something you will always remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I hear a lot about that place, but I've never been there. I've never seen the fights there. I've just seen them on like on video on YouTube or whatever. But I can imagine.
Yeah.
There's even a lot of documentaries about it as well. And like, they just, mostly they say about how the audience, how the crowd just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a good energy.
Yeah. I don't know, really.
Mm. Best and worst parts about fighting?
The worst? Let's start with the worst. I would say maybe you don't have that often. Maybe respect is not the right word, but from the promotion, the people in this business. I mean, I would say most of the people who are making the business, they are not fighter or they never really trained, so they don't. You're not even. I don't think they are seeing you as a worker. I mean, you are a fighter, but you are a worker, and yes. Actually, this is a job.
Yeah.
So this is the worst part. Like, but at the same time, it's giving a certain energy to make it even better all the time. So I don't know. That's
no, I
for
understand
me.
That. Yeah. No, definitely. That's why, like, with that conversation we had earlier, like, I was like, sometimes the people in the fight industry are not people I'd really want to work with long term because, they don't really think so much long term. I think they're just like, okay, let's everything now, and then they don't think about the future. You know, we need to build relationships so we can grow the sport together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be one of the worst things, or and the best. I don't know everything.
Yeah.
No, I think when you truly love it, when you can do it as a job, in my opinion, there is no part that I don't like. I mean, everything. Of course, it has some part that they are not the things that I prefer. But training, I love to train. I love to fight. I love the routine I got. I love what I learn about myself, about what I create with the people around me in my team. So just a beautiful journey.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's so important to enjoy what you're doing, to be happy doing it, especially if you're doing it every day, like training twice a day as well, right? For sure. And you're getting hurt, but like even if you're getting hurt, like it doesn't matter because you're enjoying what you're doing. And when you get hurt in the ring, you don't feel it anyway, right? It's like adrenaline.
Yeah, it's come later. No, I mean, it's part of the job. If you refuse one of the part of the job, you better change it. You better change it. I mean, boxing can't be not painful. I mean, it's boxing. It's violent in some hall, so you have pain. But this is just a small details. This is nothing.
I think that's why I really enjoy fighting is because like you get into the ring and just the emotion, the feeling that you feel inside the ring is something so different that you can't compare it with anything else. There's no other experience that you could have that would have that same feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done like skydiving, I've done like bungee jump, I've done all these different crazy things, but yet fighting in a ring, that feeling is so different.
Yeah, it's only, you can't describe it. It's only in boxing that you can have it.
What's your worst injury been?
Hopefully, I did not have.
Not have it? Oh, it's perfect. No, how about the fight that was like the most brutal fight that you and the other girl were just going at it? And how about that?
But it was not in Muay Thai, it was in MMA.
Ah.
I was not ready to face the opponent I faced at that time. She was European champ boxer.
Wow.
And she definitely boxed my face. So after the fight, I was looking like a raccoon, you know, like.
Wow.
it was horrible. So it was
Three rounds of 5 minutes?
Yeah.
That's long.
Yeah. That's why it looked like a raccoon.
Shit, five-minute round. Yeah. That's long.
No, I was... today, even if I don't do any more MMA, I could face her. Like I felt like my skills are completely different. But at that time, I was not ready to face her.
Right.
So... But even if I was looking like a raccoon, even on the during the fight, I was wishing... What does it stop?
Oh, no.
It's painful, but it's more about the ego, of course, because you get your ass kicked. But after that, or you grow up, you take from this and you getting even stronger, or you're just, or you're getting weaker and you stop boxing. So
I've had a lot of like fights where I've took a lot of punches as well. And like around the jaw, the day after, you can't eat.
No.
Like, it hurts. You cannot move your mouth. I know how you feel. Like, I'll just have soup today, please. The struggles and difficulties in your fighting career.
Finding fight. I mean, because I want to fight the more often I can, because, but finding fight, finding opponent, finding also opportunity to fight in biggest organization. That's actually my, my wish. I mean, it's getting slowly, step by step, better, but, I would like to have more opportunities, and stronger opponent as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, the more you fight, the more exposure you get, and also you kind of have to do some more like self-promotion as well, so like a lot of people can notice you in this and that. So that's cool. How long do you plan to stay in Thailand? No plans.
No, I have no plan, but for sure I will make my my entire career with Charlton.
That's great.
Yeah, because we start a work together, so we will finish.
No, I definitely think it's probably the best gym for you. It sounds like you're getting the best training that you can get.
Definitely. Yeah, and also, I'm somebody really fidel. Can you say that? No, loyal.
Loyal.
I mean, he put a lot of energy and a lot of work on myself. So, of course, why would I move? I mean, so I will do my entire career with Charlton, and as you know, he's moving to Pattaya, so of course he's not gonna stop the gym in 2 years. Like he wants to make something for many years. So,
and that's really cool. Maybe once the gym's open, I can get Charlton on the show.
It would be great.
Yeah.
It would be great.
I think he's busy right now with all that.
Yeah, no, he's busy. I mean, he wanted to come, but the thing is during the week he can't because he has the boxer at the gym. So it's kind of complicated, but of course it will be great to hear from him directly. I mean, I can translate many things, but it's even better to meet him and to hear him talking about the box, about the gym, because he has also very interesting point of view about the business and the boxing world and many experience. So definitely would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlton, you have to come.
I agree. He's probably listening right now.
For sure.
So, yeah. We're talking about you. What's your opinion on child fights? I asked my last guest this as well, because like, like I said to you earlier, I'm learning psychology, so I'm actually learning like development of people right now, and I'm learning about brain development. So I've been thinking about child fights and like the brain development doesn't really finish until you're like an adult. So what's your opinion?
Well, it's a hard question. I guess before to come to Thailand, and really I never thought about it. So. But I heard many times in Thailand, like European people being shocked by the child fight. I've never been shocked. I found it actually interesting, and I don't really know about the brain things. For me, it has three different points. Like, of course, when they fight for living, it's something different. So for me, it makes absolutely sense that it's better than being in the street or doing nothing or
doing drugs or getting into bad things.
Sport save lives. So of course it makes sense for me. So that's a point. The second point would be if the kids are passionate by boxing. I mean, even if they're a child, they can choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a point. And about the brain things, I don't know. In our society, anyway, this society fucks are up. So I don't know.
That's kind of true, actually. This society is kind of fucked up. So
I don't know if it's not boxing, so, it's something else.
Yeah,
so.
That makes sense. Because a lot of these child fighters who are from like kind of poor income sort of background, right? So yeah, a lot of them, it's either like boxing or farming or something bad, like drugs or whatever. So yeah, so I guess it's in that respect, it's okay. Yeah.
What do you think?
I have mixed feelings about it too, because like you said about sports, it's definitely helpful for the child to develop a skill that they can use to help their career for their life, mm-hmm. make income. But now I'm learning this about the brain development, I'm thinking maybe they shouldn't have head contact. Mm-hmm. So maybe fight, but no head contact to the body, I think is acceptable to the head. I'm not sure. Now I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, my last guest, he said that a lot of children don't really have so much power to make that much impact and like damage. But now you see some fighters, like maybe from the West, and they'll bring their children from the West who've been training in the West to come over and fight Thai kids. And these Western kids have been going through like really hardcore training. So they are a lot more stronger. Like they are a lot more talented in different types of fight sports as well. And they come in a lot more with boxing. Whereas the Thai ones, obviously, again, you know, clinch and knee and kicking, where it's mostly body impact. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a difference there. I can't really say. I have mixed views. Mm-hmm.
But is there any research about what would be the impact on the brain? I mean, is there really a big difference for the kids who will receive? Does it make a big brain damage? Like,
yeah, it can make brain damage. The brain develops from the back to the front, and even in your teenage years, the front of it is not fully developed, mm-hmm. and that is where you get like judgment and decision making and a lot of things that you need later in life. You mm-hmm. know. If you're going to get a lot of punches here on the front and that doesn't develop, then these kids who become adults are not going to be good people in society later, because they're going to lack like judgment and thinking about things, whether it's the right choice or the bad choice. They're not going to lack that. So like maybe they'll just do things without even caring about the repercussion of it, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, in that case, in towards society, it's a bad thing. For their own personal, maybe it can also affect in different areas. So I don't know. When they do the amateur championships, it's usually no head contact for children. Mm-hmm. Just they wear the entire body protection, and they just hit towards the body, and it's more technical. But fighting professionally, I don't know. Now I have mixed views.
Okay.
Yeah, like I wouldn't want to see a kid get knocked out. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I think that would make me feel like I've seen that before. And I've also seen in Isan, like, very young children, very, very young, like, toddler, like, they're wearing diapers, you know? And the parents put them in the ring, and then, like, it's not even a fight. They'll just make one hit the other, and then they'll cry, and then they'll take them out. And I'm like, why would you even do that?
Yeah, I never saw that. But yeah.
Oh, my God. Years ago in, like, Buriram, Isan, in, like, the forest, they did, like, these fights. Yeah. So, I don't know. But, so, yeah, the Thai style, when there's, like, less hits towards the head, more body shots, I think that's fine. But, like I said, now that there's more of a Western influence, more boxing, more, like, heavy hit, then it can be a bit more dangerous.
Yeah.
I have met a lot of fighters who are like old fighters who are kind of a little bit brain damaged. What's it called? Punch drunk. Mm-hmm. Punch drunk, you know, like punch and then you're drunk. Like it's like that.
Okay. Like, okay. Yeah.
So I met a lot like that, and they just had so many hits to their heads. So I've definitely seen what it could be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of scary as well. Because like in Thailand, there's not a good sort of health care system for these people.
No, for sure. But
so that's a bit of an issue as well. So I don't know. Maybe if you give them a fight and then you let them rest in between the fights, have good rest, like maybe a month, you know, 3 weeks to a month, I think that's okay. But like in the countryside, they're fighting almost every day.
Yeah.
So that's another issue as well. Yeah. So yeah, just as long as you take care of them, have the right rest, then maybe they have time to sort of like
recover.
Exactly.
Okay.
How do you stay motivated and avoid any mental blockages?
As I said already, I really loved.
Love what you do.
Yeah. So wow. It's like sometimes I'm tired and I want to stay in the bed, but it's not like I don't lose my motivation. And maybe if I would stop to progress in everything, maybe I would just be less motivated. But because I can see my progress and I try to make a progress every day on every level. So no, it's just like a huge motivation because I don't touch the hand of the scales or of the boxing edge. I have the feeling that I am just a beginner in the, even if it's not the case, but you know, I'm just like, there is a word in front of me. So still a big word. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's my motivation. And also when I see the performance of some girls, it's like, I want to fight you. And this is also a big motivation.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes sense. You know what you're here for and you're always progressing. So you're enjoying the journey as you're going as well. Okay. Do you have any advice for others hoping to start their careers in fighting? Maybe before they come to Thailand or when they come to Thailand?
I think it's important not giving up because things are not going the way we are thinking in the beginning. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes people want money just too quick. Like they think, okay, I'm going to do a few fights and then I'm going to be a superstar. I'm going to be rich. Or no, this
is not
gonna slow. No, not in boxing. And even if it's for some fighter possible, it's a slow process. So just being patient and not giving up and just being patient is and keeping love for doing it, because without love for doing this sport, I guess the career is very smart, short.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and like when you were talking about being patient, I think that a lot of people, they like to jump their skills. So they go to a gym and they want to jump to like the heavy training. But like, you know, if you focus on the basics over and over again, you're going to get extremely good at the basics. Mm-hmm. The basics are so important, but people want to jump straight into like flying knee or, you know, like all this crazy stuff. You don't need to.
No.
You
know? No. If you don't have the good basic anyway, you can't do a good flying knee or whatever. So,
yeah,
no.
Exactly. I think that's so true for so many people. They just want to show off or do some. They think they've got it already, but no. Like, you've never got it. Like, always practice the basics. Like, I love shadow boxing. And just from shadow boxing, because right now I'm my back, right? Just from shadow boxing, I'm punching, like, so much more cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've really noticed, like, a difference. Like, even my movement of my shoulders, just from, like, shadow boxing all the time. I do so much shadow boxing.
Then I really believe, like, when your shadow boxing looks just perfect, this is a way of showing off without flying near. No, and the basic is the more important is just, yeah. So being patient, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Your future goals in your fighting career?
What? Just fighting, having good matchup, being in big organization and winning everything. Of course.
Yeah, that's good. That's simple to the point. Yeah, why not? Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Say anything?
No, I think you ask. We talk a lot about many different topics. So no. And just want to say thank you to you, to your job, for everything you do and you've done. And you will continue, really.
Thank you so much, Sharif. Thank you all for listening to this episode. Yeah. And please hit the like and subscribe button. Follow the Jane Marissa podcast. Cough and cough.